How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives.
Shorter Catechism, question 90. We are still dealing with the Word of God as a means of grace. So we're in that section which is unpacking how it is that God, by the Holy Spirit, uses the Word to bring grace to the souls of men. And we're especially interested in the question of how the Word is made effectual. We saw in the last class that the Word of God is made effectual through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit works alongside with and by and through the Word of God, and in the souls of men, giving them faith, enabling them to mix their hearing with faith, with believing, in order that it's made powerful, effective in the souls of those who hear it. Now, in this question, it's taking that same concept one step further. You can think in terms of taking it to the point of application, or what are the practical ways in which we should respond to the Word of God being made effectual in us as we both read it and as we hear it. And we can start with the externals. What do I mean by that? I mean, how does the Word of God actually come to us? How do we have contact with the Word of God? And we saw that it's through the reading of God's Word. There's the preaching of God's Word. We could include the teaching of God's Word. This can be both private and public reading. Then there is the singing of God's Word, right? The singing of the 150 Psalms. We can also have things like memorization of God's Word. We can speak about meditation on God's Word, and we could probably go on and on and on, right? This one can also be both private and public. And then memorization is obviously more private. Meditation could be both public and private. We typically think of it more in terms of a private exercise of our souls, but we're meditating on God's Word as we sing it in church and as we hear it read and as we hear it preached and so on. So there's all of this external work. But then the Catechism goes on to also speak about the internal work. So internal is perhaps a little bit too narrow of a word, but it's related to external. You know, our individual responsibility and response to that word. And there's seven things that we're given under really three different categories. So first of all, we are to attend, it says. Attend with what? And then we have a list here. Attend with diligence. And secondly, preparation. And thirdly, prayer. So here is our individual, we could say, individual, personal responsibility in relationship to the Word. We're to attend with diligence. So what would be the opposite of diligence is laziness, but it can also be apathy or indifference. There's an ability to sing the Psalms with your mind shut. So your eyes are going over the words, and you're perhaps even pronouncing those words without your mind being engaged in what you're doing, to be actually diligently thinking about what you're singing. But then we can take it a step further. In terms of our reading of God's Word, we're to dig, right? We're to roll up our sleeves and to get into God's Word and dig. We're to read reflectively. We're to think about all that's being conveyed in the text. We compare Scripture with Scripture. We may take a truth that's found in one passage and then look to see how that same truth is expounded and what light is given to us elsewhere in God's Word. There's diligence there. Same thing with regards to preaching. We're not just allowing noise to go in one ear and out the other, as we like to say, but we're actually grabbing a hold of the Word of God as it's being preached. We're seeking to grasp and understand and think about and work out the implications of it. Another thing is preparation. The second thing is to attend this means of the Word with preparation. So if you're going to do a project at the house, let's say children want to build, they want to build a little house or something, a little toy house or a model plane or something. You have to make preparations. You have to get your tools together. You have to get a place cleared and set up in order to engage in that activity. Even in terms of your physical food, what happens? Mama and maybe some of the children go into the kitchen and they first of all go to the grocery store and they have a list and they collect all of the stuff. They bring it home, put it in the cabinets. They get all of the dishes clean. Then they get their bowls and their spoons and their mixing cups and measuring cups and all of the ingredients out. And all of that has to be carefully mixed and prepared and eventually cooked and then ultimately served to the family. So when you sit down, you're eating and getting nourishment for your body only because there's preparation that's taken place beforehand. And it's similar with regards to the Christian. When we're going to eat spiritual food, whether it be in the private or public reading and singing of God's Word, or whether it be in the public proclamation and preaching of God's Word, preparation is an indispensable component. So if your minister is preaching through a book of the Bible, you might not know the exact text, but you know that this next section is coming up. You can be thinking about it ahead of time, reading over it, reflecting on it. There's all of the preparation of our bodies, making sure we're rested and alert and so on. So there's a lot of different ways in which we can prepare for the preaching of God's Word. And then, of course, one of the parts of preparation is prayer. We should pray over our reading of the Bible at home. We should pray over the reading, preaching, and singing of God's Word at church as well. So as we were seeing last time, because of the role of the Spirit to make the Word effectual, we should be praying for the presence and power of the Spirit in preparation for the ministry of God's Word. It's also true that we should be praying under the ministry of God's Word. So, for example, as your pastor is preaching, you can be praying while he's preaching. And then, of course, not only before and during, but then afterward, having received the Word of God, again, whether it's been read or preached, you're able to pray over what you have read. So for one practical example, maybe you have your private reading at home and you read through a passage of Scripture. Sometimes it's helpful to actually go back after you've read through the passage and then to actually pray through that passage. Use what it reveals about God in speaking to Him and praising Him and adoring Him. You think through the doctrines that are being taught, how it affects your holiness, how it affects your comfort, praying for the application of God's Word, praying for the ability to obey and change and do what God's Word is saying, and so on. So we're to attend with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Then we're to, secondly, receive it. Receive with what? Brings us to the fourth and fifth thing, faith and love. So that's helpful. This ties back to what we saw in the previous class, faith. We're to receive it with faith. In Hebrews, chapter 4, it'll speak about how the people of Israel had the Word of God, but they didn't mix their hearing with faith. They didn't actually receive it with faith and believe it, and therefore they didn't profit. So does everybody who hears a sermon, is every sermon effectual? So if I'm preaching on the street in open air preaching, lots of people are hearing the sermon. Do they all get grace from it? No. When I'm preaching the congregation, does everybody receive grace from it? Is it effectual in them? No. It has to be received with faith. We have to actually lay hold of, feed upon the Word of God by faith. So we're to be receiving it by believing what God has said. This is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. There's also to be love. So we are to love the Word of God. This is the voice of God Himself, the voice of our Bridegroom, the voice of our Creator. And it's to be received as such. A young couple who are engaged to be married, they love to receive a letter or an email or a phone call from their beloved. And so it is for the Lord's people. We love the Word of God, and we're to be cultivating and receiving that Word with love, thankful for it, rejoicing over it, and so on. So we're to attend with diligence, preparation, and prayer. We're to receive it with faith and love. And then we are to respond. We're to respond to it with two more things, number 6 and 7. We're to respond by laying it up in our hearts. We're going to be laying it up in our hearts. So David speaks about, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, in Psalm 119. You'll see the same concept in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, and many other places. This would include, laying it up in our heart would include memorization and meditation. So you can memorize the metrical psalms. You can memorize portions of Scripture itself. But whether you're memorizing it or not, we can meditate upon it. So we're actually storing what God has given us in our minds, in our souls, and carrying it with us. So it's not bouncing off of us or passing through us, but it's being stored up by us. And, you know, oftentimes ministers will take great pains and more time than many would care, myself included, more time than we would care to admit, to structure our sermons in ways that make it as easy as possible for the Lord's people to lay it up in their heart, to be able to keep it and remember it. So the structure of the sermon at times is such that people can take it away and be able to call it back to mind and to review it with relative ease. Right? We're laying up these truths in our hearts, so we should be meditating upon them. Meditating is like the lamb who's chewing on his cud, right? They digest it, they bring it back up, and they chew more and digest it again, and it's extracting all the nutrients out of it. And so whether you're reading a passage of Scripture, you can be meditating and asking questions of the text, trying to pull everything out of it you can, or whether it's a sermon, doing the same, meditating on the things that have been said in order to extract as much spiritual nourishment from it as possible. The seventh thing, the last thing, is to practice it in our lives. So we're not only to be hearers of the Word, but we are to be doers of the Word. Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, compares the person who builds their house upon the sand and who build their house upon the rock. Those who build their house upon the rock are those who both hear the Word and do it, who are practicing it. So when the Lord's convicting us of sin, we are looking by the help of the Spirit to change, to repent, turn from those sins, and to obey and walk in God's Word. And as we're being given instructions on what our duty is and what was required of us and how we glorify God, we're looking to apply that, to work it out into the details of our lives. It's action, right? Not just resolutions, but action. And in closing, let me just encourage you to look at the larger catechism. Now, we have the shorter catechism, which these classes are expounding, but there's the larger catechism. The larger catechism actually has fuller material on all of the points that are covered in the shorter catechism, and there's a lot fuller material on this point in the larger catechism, and I would encourage you to look at that. So, for example, in question 156, it's dealing with the reading of God's Word, and it gives us some details there. In question 157, we basically have the same thing as we have here in Shorter Catechism 90. In 158, it's dealing with the preaching of God's Word, a whole question on preaching, and it addresses the matter of the office of preaching. Not everyone is permitted to preach, but only those who have been called and appointed by God to preach, ministers of the gospel. Then there's a further question on how to preach, right? How preaching is to be carried out. And then there's a question in 160 on how to hear the preaching of God's Word effectively. So I would encourage you to go back and look at questions 156 through 160 to see far more detailed material on this matter. So question 90, how is the Word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? That the Word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives.